birthday party?
Then you got a freaking miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamits, I'm always rooting for you, getting stuff done. I want to see you meet those goals. Get it. I had a fantastic week. I did some great shows this past weekend and earlier this week, Valentine's Day. I've been doing this long enough to where I've done so many shows, there's some things that blur and I don't really remember. Like, I really have a phantom memory of a show that I've been trying to figure out where the hell I was at for a long time, and I keep asking Anthony. I was like, remember we were here, and I set up, and but this past weekend was not one of those shows that I will ever forget, never, ever. Sometimes, now not a lot, very seldom, but sometimes when you get heckled, it's a good thing, yes, a good thing. I was doing a show. Great time, fantastic audience. And I was in the middle of telling this one bit that I tell about going on a paranormal investigation with my wife, ghost hunting, and I wound up farting. So it was basically just a haunted fart joke. But anyways, the crowd's loving it, dying laughing. Dude in the front row is laughing so hard he's actually out of his seat on the floor. He was like really enjoying this bit. And out of nowhere, he stands up, hushes the entire room, and goes, I have a ghost story too. And then lets the loudest fart I ever heard in my entire life. Whole room just started dying laughing. I thought the roof was going to fly off that place, man. What could I say? I don't know even what I could say. I just like, my God. I was like, dude, now your house is haunted, man. It was amazing. I got heckled by a butthole, folks. So there we go. God, that, I will never forget that show. I will never forget that show. And I want to give a big shout out for the Valentine's night show, date night show, Will Godson's event. Man puts on a hell of a, produces a hell of a show. So that was a great time also. All right, well, enough about me. Let's get moving. Let's give a big shout out for the sponsor for today's episode. Okay. Well, today's episode is brought to you by Rosie Tattoos. Custom tattoos designed to suit your style in a friendly and clean environment. I've been getting my tattoos done by Rosie for a while now, and I couldn't recommend anyone else because she does excellent work. As a matter of fact, I got an appointment to see Rosie here in just a few weeks, and I cannot wait to get my ink therapy done, baby. Rosie gets free consultations by Facebook Messenger, Instagram, or by email. Shoot her an email at rosietattoos@yahoo.com. Give Rosie a call today at 865-281-3451 or go see Rosie at 5710 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. Get your ink therapy done. You know you want a tattoo. Go see Rosie Tattoos. All right, Abracadamits. Now, today's guest is somebody, I mean, I've known her for a long time. We met on a variety show that we both used to perform on regularly back in the day, the Ooh Review Show, baby. Big shout out. Back in the day, it was good times back then, and she was amazing back then, and she is amazing now. I've had the pleasure of seeing her perform several times. She absolutely killed it at the Secret City Festival a few years back, and she's still killing it today. So if you will, Abracadamits, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with singer and performer Janine Fuller. All right, I'm excited. We got Janine Fuller here on the Abracadam Podcast today. Janine, how you doing?
I'm good. My voice is a little raspy, but I'm good. I'm good.
Well, how you doing? I'm doing good. I have known you for forever now, but if you do not mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the Abracadam listeners?
Wow. Okay. Wow. My name is Janine Fuller. Hello, everybody. I am a vocalist, performer, songwriter, mother, everything else in between. I have a band called the True Funk Soldiers. I also do a lot of jazz and blues and a lot of music, things like that. I am a community advocate for a lot of causes and things like that. So I'm from New York, but I now live in Knoxville. Knoxville is my home. Very happy to have made Knoxville my home right now. So I don't know. You know, I'm a mama, things like that, you know. My kids are gotten on my nerves. We can talk about that maybe, but anyway.
Well, I tell you what, the interesting thing about you is you are a, like I said, we've known each other for a while. You're very talented, fantastic singer. But let's hear this, because I want, you know, this is interesting. You're from New York, now you're in Knoxville. How did it start for Janine? I mean, did you start singing in you know, back home in New York, or let's hear the journey?
It's a long journey, so I'll try my best to keep it as brief as possible for you. Well, you know, typically when I was a young kid growing up and being reared by my grandparents, apparently I was a singer, an organic singer. Like, you know, I would perform and do routines for my family there in Brooklyn and make everybody watch it. But it wasn't something that I thought technically that I would do. But I think they're seeing it. They saw it for years. Anyway, forwarding to around the time that I really started doing it, singing church, 8 years old, leading the adult choir. And the church that I came from, if you don't sing right, pardon me, if you don't sing it right, they're going to take the microphone from you. That's just pretty embarrassing. But it's telling you the truth. So at 8 years old, I had my first experience of that. But by around the teenage years, I was in contests when we were in New York, but then we moved to North Carolina, and my mom tried to give me things to do, basically. So she put me in violin and piano, and I was in all kinds of other activities. But singing, of course, seemed to have come naturally, and I was in a lot of contests and stuff. Well, one of my bigger contests that I was in, I would say probably like 13 or 12 or 13, somewhere around that time, I got in a contest, and my mom, I won. Well, this contest I was not supposed to be in. I was on restriction because I was doing something with a little boy that I had no business doing. That's right, the whole world hears it now. And so my mom said, "You're not going to be in this contest." Well, I snuck and auditioned for the contest. It was some kind of high school contest thing. And next thing you know it, I come home with an award. And she's trying to figure out, how the heck did I come home? How the heck did I sneak and do this and before all these people and get there and win a contest? So she said, if you can do this and you want to do this, we're going to take this seriously. So I started getting trained, doing some classical music and things like that. So my mom could have went any way with that, but she decided to support me. So I would say probably around 13 or 14, maybe, I started really kind of getting serious and doing stuff. And then mom in North Carolina, one of her other ways to keep me busy was to kind of manage me in some ways. So I would do weddings and do other, so I was kind of getting paid. That was my job. I was getting paid to do that kind of stuff young. And then I took it to adulthood, not realizing it. I was in a lot of things, pageantries and things like that. So that was my talent competitions. And next thing you know, I wound up winning a national competition to go to a special school called the North Carolina School of the Arts. It is now called University of North Carolina School of the Arts. That was a high school. That was part of my other journey, which led me to start kind of taking it a little seriously and going, well, do I really know this music stuff now? I got to really learn music. Like really, really learn music. It was conservatory. And then I just started taking it seriously, a little more seriously. And next thing you know, one gig after another, I'm covering for someone. And it just kind of happened in a way, you know? I mean, as much as I love to do it, it just kind of happen. It's really funny how things like that happen for you. You know, you don't make those plans necessarily, but then after a while, I was like, well, let me just go ahead and see how this works, you know?
You know, it's kind of weird because I know exactly what you're saying. And it's like almost if you put yourself in that world, the universe mm-hmm. will take control of you and give opportunities your way and things will happen. You know, absolutely. It's just you have to step forward. Now, I do want to back up and say this real quick because I find this funny. I love this, by the way. But now I'm assuming the church you started out singing in, it was an African-American church.
Uh-huh. It was the Church of God in Christ.
Okay. Okay. I got to say this. Black people, it's cultural. There's something culturally that first of all, they don't sugarcoat you, man. If you aren't good, like if America's Got Talent or The Voice had all black judges, the show would be 15 minutes long.
That's right. Between the faces and next. Let me show you how to do it and bye.
That would be the truth. But hey, I as an entertainer, you love that honesty. I love that honesty. Well, okay. First of all, Janine, that is awesome that you had a mom that supported you and literally like guided you along the way and pointed you in the right direction, everything here with music. So, she probably saw something in you and knew that this was worth investing in and doing something with.
Yeah. She saw that her daughter was apparently, stubborn and resourceful and going to do things her way, whether she liked it or not. So she may as well just go ahead and step behind me and kind of mold me and guide me along the way, you know, because I mean, to actually do something and your mom told you not to do it and you did it anyway. She said, there's something here, but we want you to get trained to do this. I want you to get trained to learn how to use your voice. And, you know, because, you know, back then it was not a thing to take voice lessons and things like that. Coming from a gospel black church, they were like, what voice lessons, classical music, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, I got to be well-rounded and learn instruments and learn, you know, the actual music aspects of everything, and it, which makes you more versatile.
That's the thing about with your show is like anyone who has seen you perform, it's you're not watching an amateur up there. You know, when you're on stage, you're seeing somebody who truly knows what they're doing, a professional, and you know, even if they've never heard you before, you know, we are in store for an awesome show.
How sweet is that?
Thank you. Well, no, I mean, that's the truth. And, you know, like I met you, because that was the feeling I got the first time I saw you perform on stage. It's like we met because I got to work with you on the Ooh Review show back in the day. Yeah. Fantastic variety show. Those were good times, man. I miss those days. That was really fun. And I just remember thinking, wow, you know, this girl's good. You know, this is good stuff. And then plus you killed it at the Secret City Festival a few years back too.
That was fun.
Oh yeah. Fantastic job. So now were you always kind of like, even whenever, you know, when you earlier started out and you were doing these gigs, did you know the exact kind of music you wanted to sing? Were you always dead set on kind of like what you're doing now?
Actually I was all over the place, especially as a young person. Really all I wanted to do was be a technical singer. Basically I wanted to do background stuff, I wanted to do jingles, so I basically just wanted my voice heard, but I didn't want to be seen, and I just wanted to do it when I learned that you can make money from doing it. I said, oh, I just want to kind of be a professional singer or vocalist and see how that takes me. Nothing else to the other levels of, you know, trying to figure out, well, what genre? Because I've always been taught to learn to be versatile. So, you know, just learn how to use your voice right. And I'm a big admirer of all genres of music. Really, I am. So, you know, you got to put yourself in those modes. Well, sometimes because you have the versatility, it's hard to make those decisions. But I've also been told, well, everything she sings, even if it's classical music, sounds like it's soul.
But you know what? That's also something super cool, because what that is you're making it your own.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And I think that goes across the board on so many of the performing arts. I mean, we see it a lot in music, like whenever a musician covers a song and it's, if they make it their own, I can dig it. You know, I can't stand it when a musician or even the band, when you hear bands cover songs, and a lot of bands, they cover a lot of songs, especially when they're starting out. If they don't try to sound like, you know, make it their own, and they're trying to sound like that group, I can't understand that, you know?
Yeah.
I like to see artists try to make stuff their own, and not just in music, but like, you know, for instance, in magic, this is where magicians and musicians are very similar.
Right.
You know, we do magic tricks, but basically we're covering magic tricks. We're doing a cover of that magic trick. And when the magician can make that magic trick his own, that's when it's good, you know, not
yes.
you know, doing it like, so same thing with the musician, if they're covering a song and they make it their own, you know. Now I did hear I heard a song the other day. And first of all, this was a brave attempt too. I want to tell you this. Have you ever heard of the Black Pumas?
Oh yeah. I do a couple of their covers.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Have you heard them cover Tracy Chapman's, Fast Car.
I have.
Uh-huh. Not bad. They did a good job. They did a good job. But boy, you talk about us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are people that, you know, that yeah, they do try to take it and make it their own. But, you know, speaking of which, there was Whitney Houston. There's the anniversary of Whitney Houston. She was one of those that took songs and made every song. We were talking about how she just stole everybody's songs and made it was hers. Yeah. And forget it. Even the Star Spangled Banner. It's like, forget about it.
She was so great. I love it, though, when I see artists do that. But now, Tracy Chapman, that was a brave attempt, though. I don't know. I got to say, you know, Black Pumas, that's, I don't know. I can't say they did it better than Tracy. I can't say that. But they did a good job. They did a good
right,
job.
Right. They tried. They tried.
They did they try. Were
being authentic to themselves. So, there was that.
Now, I will tell you, because, and you know, for people who don't know this, Janine is a ginormous, probably one of the biggest fans in the world of Prince. Okay. And now Prince, I will say this. Did you ever see, I don't know if you've seen this, you may know this, but you know the song Creep from Radiohead. Did you ever see Prince's cover?
Yes.
Holy crap. Absolutely. That is so good.
Yes, yes. He was one of those that took other people's. Now, it was funny how he was always wanting to be original and didn't want you to take his stuff, but he would take somebody else's stuff in a heartbeat. And it's like, in your face.
And I mean, you know, isn't there some controversy with the Sinead O'Connor that she cut, you know, Prince wrote it and she made it a hit. I don't know if there is or not. I'm not sure. You probably know more than I do. But I will tell you also, the cover of that I really like is Chris Cornell. Have you heard his cover of that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
God, that was good.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know that it was a controversy. I guess to some degree it was. But, you know, there was a lot of stuff that people did from his. Like that one that some people, the younger folks especially, don't realize that he did it. This is where I come in at now with the True Funk Soldiers, because we kind of bring back some of the history through music and performing it and letting y'all know, well, this may be this one, but this is where it came from and this is how it sounded first, or let's mesh them together or something like that, you know.
Whenever, you know, with Prince is, Prince was, I think you could take Bob Dylan, you could take even a piece of Michael Jackson, and you could take, there's somebody else. He's all these characters rolled into one.
If he were alive, let me tell you right now, if he were alive, don't he would be like, Michael Jackson?
Exactly.
Even he would go, what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Prince was, he's literally like a music god, you know, right. a musical right. god. So, a heck of a guy to look up to, Janine. So,
yeah, some standards, I tell you what. It's like, and he was the one that kind of was my influence somewhere around being a teenager, because that's kind of when his music kind of started hitting with a lot of us. You know, it was like, and then of course his music was way risque back when he first started, So of course, you know, most kids were at that time were banned, not like they are now is extremely, but banned from listening to his music. However, it was all art, and really it was all a lot of more spiritual messages that was connected in there more than the other connotations, the sexual connotations or anything like that. But it was art, and it was like, when you're a musician and you're a singer, you hear that and stuff, and you're drawn to it. You're just so drawn to it. So, I mean, it's a heck of a lot of shoes to try to fill when you're a big fan of his, and you don't want to even get his stuff wrong and make it your own, because Lord, you know, yeah. you know, like you said, the other guy, with the Tracy Chapman, it's not Prince, but the Tracy Chapman song, it's like, you just don't want to mess with sometimes you want to, because you want your own spin to it. But then, you know, that's just a chance we all take.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, me and Antoinette, we heard that the other day, and I was like, you know, I really like the Black Pumas. I really do like them. But I said, they did a good job, but they didn't do it better than Tracy, because that's a brave song.
It is. But most definitely, Prince is a huge influence, so much so that when I did hone in here in Knoxville, the Knoxville area, I decided to hone in on some type of I don't know, genre, I guess, or just some type of mode of music. And I had decided to really hone in on funk and soul. But the reason being was because the Prince, the name of my band really comes from a song from one of Prince's songs, and he talks about the true funk soldiers. It's a song called Musicology. One day you listen to, actually you come to one of my shows and you'll hear it, because that's my theme song.
Well, you brought it up, so I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Actually, me and Antoinette saw that you're going to be at the Wine Bar. Is it the Wine Bar? And is it next weekend?
It's the 26th, so we've got at least another 2 weeks.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the cool thing is I'm off the next 2 weekends, so I'm going to be there. You know, I don't get weekends off mainly anymore. You know, and I mean, that's usually show weekends. But actually, and I'm looking forward to it. And I was like, you know what, Janine's going to be here in town. Let's go check out this new place, because this is a new place.
Yes.
And we're going to go sit down and relax and watch your show. So we're totally looking forward to that. I want to, let's do this. Okay. So funk type music, you know, the thing I love about, you know, the kind of music you do is like, it's almost like, I guess it is, you do have to have a niche, but also at the same time, it transcends. Everybody likes it. Absolutely. Everybody likes it. It's not,
that's the point.
It's not too over the top, and it's not mm-hmm. too sleepy. It's enough to get right. you moving a little bit.
Right.
You know? I mean, or you can sit back and just chill and listen.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, that's what I'm going for. I mean, ultimately, music is universal. Everything relates to one another. You know, I want to try to put as many other influences as possible in the music, because again, I mean, me and the musicians that I regularly work with, we do so many different aspects. We do jazz and blues, and we like to fusion it up sometimes and mix it up, and where people might riff on, or singers might riff on certain songs, I'm scatting on them. You know. That kind of stuff, you know, just mixing it up a little bit and having fun. Really, it's about having fun with it at that point and reaching out to people that way.
You know, that's the crazy thing is because, you know, me and you, we relate to each other a lot just because we know the grind of being an entertainer is really rough. And it's the stuff that people don't see the grind. They just see the glory, you know, and the grind is what is really, really hard. And just the other last night, I'm going to confess this. You know, I was whining to Antoinette because I was on my way to do a show and I was like, gosh, I'm just so tired and I just want to sit home. I don't feel like doing this, you know, and I get there and have one of the greatest shows ever. Just a great time. And I had so much damn fun and they were such a great crowd. And then you get back and you get those reminders. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
But, We have to deal with so much of and this is the thing, coming an entertainer is we depend on your response. And when you reach out to a particular booker and they don't even respond. It's like the worst. I would rather you say, no, I hate you, leave. Right. Yeah, right. Okay, cool. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. But then you don't even get a response and you're like, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's so many things to the grind that I know exactly what you're talking about. But whenever you do get in there and you do have fun, that makes it all worth it.
It really, really does. You're 100% correct with all of that. I don't even like to contact booking places or people to book anything. What I have also is a day job. So I have worked for the hospital system as well. So I have two jobs, man. Two jobs. and you know, one really, they understand at my day job that my music is, I'm so grateful that they understand that it's very important to me. And they've come, a lot of people have come to that. So they understand that. However, you know, within all that, I don't always have time to all constantly follow up and do this and do that. And a lot of the engagements, I'm really fortunate to say, I don't know, I guess I just showed up somewhere and sat in or sang somewhere. And then that kind of happened that way, but I still had to follow up, you know what I mean? And like, say somebody wants you to do this or whatever, you and I've done it, you know, with us doing things together. And it's like, so it's like, okay, not that I don't want to do it, but it's like so many other aspects of what you got to do, entertaining and, you know, just your regular life and stuff. And it's like, I don't feel like dealing with this dude ignoring me. And you know, me, it's like, now I don't have time. I don't want to go up and curse you out just because you saying no. Just tell me the truth, please.
Exactly.
Tell me whether or not I'm a fit or not. And don't waste my time. So a lot of times I do kind of tell myself, well, if it ain't worth it, if it's not for me, then I guess it's just not for me. But that's just the mentality I guess I started to take, doing it so much when it's so competitive. Because, you know, being a New Yorker and then doing that kind of stuff for a living and everything competitive, it's like you have to learn how to tell yourself things in the process of it before you even start to perform, you know.
And I mean, that's something that I do, too. Like if I reach out to somebody and I get no response, and you know, I may do a follow-up, no response, I'm like, okay, I'm done, you know, I mean, I guess it's not for me, you know. Right. It's not for me. And that's the kind of attitude you got to have. And you know, not even to get spiritual, because I am a spiritual person now. I wouldn't say I'm religious, but I am a spiritual person.
I'm spiritual as well.
I feel like the universe is going to take me where I need to go. It's going to take care of me. And and it's already had, you know, a lot of opportunities has happened for me that's just blown my mind. And it's just because I've just been hopping on there and, you know, holding the universe's hand and saying, let's go, you know, where are we going? So
and when we show up, that's like you said, the universe, it gives it all to us. Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's for anybody who is an entertainer, if there are any entertainers, musicians, magicians, comedians, whatever you do, you know, that's the way to go. You know, if you don't get that gig, hey, it's okay.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to mention the C word, but the COVID thing, changed the game a lot too. You know what I'm saying? So you have to find other modes and other ways to present your art and make your money, because it is a living that most of us are making from it. You know, it's not just about the fun, it's work. You know, so then that changes the whole game of it all with all of this stuff. So
it totally, COVID did me in big time. But thank God, I got to say this, that they finally, Tennessee pushed the gig workers pay, you know, when they were doing that, because that really saved me. I was on gig workers unemployment for a little while. And man, that helped a lot. Things picked up. Now, this wasn't for everybody. This didn't happen for everybody, but things really picked up for me in 2021. And it was just nuts. And then, of course, you know, the spike in the Omicron, you know, things started getting weird again. And 2022, I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Right.
For live entertainment and also organizing. Did I say it right? Organizing, folks. There we go. Organizing a festival in the middle of a pandemic was the hardest thing and most difficult thing I've ever done in my entire life. We had Jimmy Allen, the country music singer, out, and the 90s R&B hip hop group All For One. I love those. Fantastic group of guys.
They're great. They're
super cool. God, super cool. Yeah. They love magic. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. But it was still tough. You know, it was still tough to even being an outdoor event. It was still tough. So
yeah.
I'm just hoping though, I personally, Janine, I don't think COVID is ever going away.
It's not going away.
This is
going
to be a new part of our lives.
We've got to learn how to just live with it.
Live with it. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, you know, we got to do what we got to do. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I think once we do kind of figure out, you know, how to live with it and do what we need to do, you know, we're going to be okay. You know, I think everything's going to be okay. And live entertainment will still thrive. Now, let me ask you this, because this is interesting. I don't know how this affects a musician, because I've asked comedians and magicians and about this, the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, like, right now this is starting to become a thing, but virtual reality comedy clubs. Have you seen?
Seen that yet?
yes. So
I've been hearing about that metaverse stuff, but good God, it's crazy. So tell me. I know what.
Okay. Well, all right. First of all, I haven't done it, but it's supposed to be a thing, like where you go on virtual reality and people are there standing in the room doing your jokes, doing your and stuff. And I know it's going to happen with music too. It's going to be a thing in music too. I don't like it. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's things I do not like it.
It's weird.
It is weird. And I was talking to, I had a comic on here the other day I was talking to, and we were talking about, okay, for example, one of the things that we have to get over the hurdle as live entertainers is getting on that stage in front of an audience and performing. Right. And that's where your nerves and a lot of things come in and everything, because you are there live in that moment. Now, that's one of the things that people have to overcome if they want to become a live entertainer, you know, and eventually you get addicted to it. You know what I'm talking about, that rush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the metaverse, like, for example, I'm terrified of heights, Janine Fuller, but I would much rather climb a skyscraper in the metaverse than I would in the outerverse. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So... But just because I climb a skyscraper in the metaverse, don't make me like a rock climber. You know what I'm saying? So I just, I don't right. know. There's just things that I just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. My brother, so, gosh, my brother and I have been talking about all this futuristic stuff, and Metaverse was one of them a couple of months ago. And he was like, yeah, you got to get on that, and this, that, and the other. And I was like, man, that don't even sound right. That Metaverse thing don't even sound right. But it's here. Like, it is here. And I had a chance to see, I think they might even be doing some commercials tonight on Super Bowl stuff. With this Metaverse thing. And I'm like, this thing is insane. It's like, you got to, you know, put on these little glasses and or whatever these goggle things are. And it's just weird to me. And like you said, it just does nothing beats the feeling of people right there by you. They're live. You feed off of them. They feed off of you. What do you get when you're doing the Metaverse thing besides being, I just doesn't make sense. That part doesn't make sense to me socially. You know what I mean?
Well, there's some scary stuff when you really start to think about it. Okay. Okay. I'm not one of these guys that I sit here and say video games are causing violence in our children. No. Right. Human beings, for some reason, it's in our DNA to be like, when you're little kids, you ran around and played, you know, with guns, little cap guns and stuff. That's always been in our tendencies for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's always been there. But let me do point this out. Okay. I do want to point this out. The Grand Theft Auto game, you're familiar with that game. Real popular. Uh-huh. There's things you can do in that game that you would never do in real life because there's real bad consequences.
Right.
If you take human beings and you put them in a situation where they can act out on things that human beings will do, you know what I'm saying? But uh-huh. I feel like there's no consequences.
Right.
Is that still healthy? For human beings, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we're in the Metaverse. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know,
yeah.
I don't know, you know, if that's really going to be a healthy thing. And then here's something else to think about, though, on the flip side of things. Okay. This is something else to think about. We live in a time where you go to the grocery store, there's a chance that some crackpot will show up and shoot everybody.
Right.
Well, in the Metaverse, you can go to the grocery store and literally shop. They're setting it up to where you can do your shopping on the Metaverse and it'll arrive at your doorstep. You know what I mean? And then you don't have to worry about getting shot and killed, which is a sad world to live in also.
It's sad. It's pathetic. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's some, the future is creepy. I'm just going to tell
you. Yeah. I'm like, some of that I just don't get. And some of that,
I don't like it. I'm just, maybe call me old. I don't know. Call me old.
I'm bonafidely old because I'm not feeling it. I mean, all of these things is just, it takes away from human contact, and we have enough issues hiding, even though we're having to use that now for different modes, but hiding, people hide behind things. And you know, if you saw them live in person, they wouldn't even be that way.
No, you know. And you know, our generation, we come from a generation to where there's consequences to what you said, you know.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, if I say something, I know I'm ready to face the consequences of what I'm about to say. And we do have a whole new generation of people who do not truly understand that. That's why you get so many mean comments, you know, and opinions and things that are coming out that, you know what, brother, if you was face to face, you'd never say that. You'd never say that. Yeah. And I can't even pick on young kids. I'm not even picking, there's people our age that'll step behind that screen and flap their jaws. But those are the cowards, and I'm going to call them cowards because they were the cowards that would never say it to your face.
Exactly what I call them.
So anyways, here I am, you know, we're going on a rant. Yeah, let's
Let's bring it back up.
Let's bring it back up. Let's talk about some music. Let's bring it back up to music. I want to know this, okay? Because, all right, you started your journey out. The Uber Review Show. Where were you at in the point whenever you started hitting the stage on the Uber?
Where was I, you mean? Like, as far as here and musically?
How long have you been in the area? Were you new in the area?
I was not necessarily super new to the area, but I started singing around town. Like, I gave up music for a long time. You know, life happens, and I have a story that I probably should put in a book, because I did face homelessness and stuff like that with my daughter. And
oh, you did?
I did. And with my oldest daughter, that's a whole nother story. It's a book. But, you know, they basically led me to the fact that I stopped singing for many years. So when I did move here and reinvent myself and things like that, I wasn't thinking about singing still. Again, the universe did it to me. I wasn't thinking about it. But, you know, you have to have your fun doing your karaoke and stuff like that. And I was spending all this money here. It's like, oh, my God, it's like winning $500 here, $1,000. Like, you know what, maybe I should start really doing this again. but then at some point, yeah, it just, you know, then I started seeing some really great live music here. Again, not the metaverse, but the live music. I started seeing live music that got me a little more inspired. And so at that point, I was introduced into certain arenas. I was at Piano Lounge and started doing a lot of things.
That was a great venue.
Yeah, it was so great. I started doing those type of things. I started doing music here at a place that is now called The Core, but it was at The Edge. They gave me opportunity because they all kind of was like, we've heard you sing before. We love you. So they gave me opportunity for an open door. And then that kind of somehow somebody saw me there or knew I was doing stuff. And next thing you know, you just show up. Like I said, you kind of show up. And so I was doing music for just a little bit, just before the ooh, like professionally, that is, yeah. Here. I was just doing it just for a little bit. And I thought it was fun to be able to be on a project that was like a variety show, you know? I thought that was fun. And take advantage of meeting other people. That was my whole other thing too. Other people from the different facets of entertainment here around, you know, Tennessee and wherever. Yeah, I just thought it was pretty cool. That was great. And that opened those doors for me, even though it was not super big type of thing that we did. Sometimes it was, but it
was. The shows were sold out sometimes.
Yeah. I agree. But it also, it led me to meet you, and it led me to meet some other people that are wonderful friends of mine, and it opened doors for other things and us to kind of connect and bring our own projects to things. So yeah, I hadn't been doing it very much long before.
Well, you know, I started. The thing I love about the Ooh Ooh Show is there was a lot of routines that I could, new routines that I could bring on the stage and practice out that have now developed into, you know, hits in my show, you know, and I don't talk to her hardly at all. I hadn't talked to her in years, but Anna, you know, thank you, Anna. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna. Yeah, because she doesn't realize that we are very grateful.
I don't think she does. I don't know if she knows. But I really do truly, honestly appreciate the opportunity that she gave me on that show.
Me too.
Let me ask you this, because we are in Black History Month, and personally, a lot of people say this nowadays, Black History Month should be all year long, should be American.
And it is for some of us.
exactly. But let's talk about this, the impact. And this is something else, you know, when first of all, American music is, I would say, 80% highly influenced by African-American culture. And you know, African-American culture is something so American, You get what I'm saying? I mean, it's American to the bone, man. I mean, and our music, you know, this country's music, it's like I said, so, you know, influenced, and thank God for African-Americans being able to express their pain into music. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of like where it all started. And when you look at, you know, we talked about the different types of music, you know, even like even the rock and roll, you know what I mean? There was a, and I'm sorry, I don't know if you can remember his name. I don't want to put you on the spot, but who was the blues singer that, are you familiar with the blues singer who, actually, he's the one who literally wrote the Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin kind of ripped him off.
I can't remember his name right now, but yes, I'm familiar with that.
So gosh, and I hate that I cannot remember his name, and a lot of people will not know this listening to this. You can look this information up, and yeah, it's the truth. It's 100% real. And it's almost like no matter where you, a lot of places where you look, you're like, my God, has started somewhere with African Americans in music, you know?
May interject. The unfortunate part with all of that, yes, what we have contributed is very, very big and very influential. However, that same type of music, when we did it back in the day, and even now sometimes, a lot still, it's either not acceptable coming from us sometimes, or the rock and roll was too raunchy when we did it. So then you got to put somebody else that doesn't look like us, you know, on the screen or whatever. So those were the type of things that we had to deal with. Like you said, stuff being taken away from us.
And I mean, that is absolutely the truth. No denying at all. I think now, but I'm going to throw two different types of perspectives here. I do want to throw this out here. You are 100% correct. A lot of African-American culture has been ripped off, stolen, the main thing is no credit given to. Now, I'm not a big fan of the term cultural appropriation. I'm not a big fan of that. I really am not, because I think the definition of American is all everybody's culture, you know, blended and mixed. That's the definition. But I do think, and I think it's starting to happen. I think it's starting to slowly happen that African-American culture needs to be recognized more, you know, needs to be acknowledged a lot more than what it is, you know, because when it comes to America, food and music are the two big giant, and let's even say, we could say fashion, we can say language. All these things now are heavily influenced from African-American history and culture in America, okay? And I'm talking everyone's American culture. But anyways, let me get, this is the side point. Like, the most famous musician who's ever lived, Elvis Presley. And a lot of, you know, he did grow up around a lot of Black children, and that he got exposed to African-American culture when he was young, and in the music, and he went places. Now, okay, given the situation and the time and the way people thought back then, there were Black entertainers, but they were to nowhere have had the success level that Elvis would have had. A, they're not white, okay? And something else that really helped Elvis. Elvis was a good-looking mofo, okay? Yeah. There's no denying it. He was a damn sexy man. So when you have that, that sells more than anything, and they saw that. So, and the bright side is, if there would have been no Elvis, what would have happened to music? You know what I mean? I mean, would African-American music eventually got noticed to what it is today? Do you get what I'm saying? Because I don't know. We did have Chuck Berry. We did have some Little Richard. We had some amazing musicians at the time.
Yeah, but they weren't given credit until
exactly.
Elvis.
Exactly. So in fact,
Elvis did a Big Mama Thornton song, Hound Dog. And I sing that song a lot. It's a blues song. And people go, Elvis is, no, I want to do Big Mama Thornton's. It's got a different feel to it, but it's the same darn song. So
my thing with Elvis is I don't think it is so much Elvis's fault or Elvis being the bad guy in the situation. It's a lot of the followers of Elvis being ignorant and unaware of things. And we have that issue to this day. You know, we have this issue. I was talking about this the other day. Remember, okay, I don't even want to go down this road because this is a whole rabbit hole a thing. But a lot of people want to talk about how kids are different today from when we are. Realistically, no, they're not. They just got other things, you know?
Right.
But whenever I was a kid in the 90s, I was a teenager in the 90s, it was cool for every white kid to be a gangster, you know what I mean? We sagged our pants, and even though we ain't never been in a damn gang, we didn't know shit about the Bloods and Crips. We didn't know anything about real, true gang violence, which was a serious issue. No, we listened to our hip hop music, and we thought, this is cool. This is how I want to dress. This is how. It wasn't like NWA's fault. NWA was trying to deliver a message to the public. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't these groups' fault. It was the followers who didn't know shit from butter. And that's kind of like, you know, that has always existed. Same. It's always existed, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've always said that music is relative. Just music alone is relative because case in point, you mentioned Led Zeppelin. I mean, they're blues, and really it's rock, but they're all based off of a blues sound. And, you know, but they became popular and famous about stuff. And much like you said, Elvis Presley, you think about Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry was rock and roll, but he also, you know, he had tinges of a little bit of country in there. And Charlie Pride was like one of the biggest influencers of country music. That all of that comes from African American music, but country kind of is the blues. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, and then you got jazz. Well, then, you know, jazz was ugly music for when black people was doing it. But then when white people or other people were doing it, then it was all of a sudden fantastic stuff. You see what I'm saying? So to me, it's still all relative. And that's the way it should be seen, is it should be all relative. And like you also said, not to have fans or people that just turn it into, well, you know, no, that this is the way it is, and so and so. And I've learned to also appreciate Elvis, because some of us who love music and like his music, but some of us used to be like, you know what, that ain't cool. He took some of our stuff, and but he really was influenced by it, honestly.
Absolutely.
And he took advantage at the time, and really sometimes he didn't take advantage of it. Sometimes they did that to him, you know what I mean? You have to sometimes learn about things more, just like people have to learn more about African American history before we start judging things.
Absolutely.
And music is one of them. And even with Elvis, I mean, you know, when I have gone to visit Memphis, people go, "Oh, did you go to Elvis Presley?" No, I went to Stax Records. I wanted to go to the Civil Rights Museum. Yeah, let me hold off on listening and watch, looking at Grace, you know, his mansion and all that. I'm not, you know, I'm cool about it, but I was like, I have other things I'd like to learn about first, about my heritage and my culture. And then I started learning about others. Traveling helps you learn about you know, the world and yourself. And that was one of the things too. It's like, okay, well, I got to learn and understand about him as well. And realize, yeah, he really wasn't that bad. It wasn't like he took it from us necessarily. He just was around it. He was influenced by it. He liked it, you know.
And it's hard. I'll just be honest. I will never, first of all, I'm so glad that I got to grow up around Black children. Different, you know, people who didn't look like me. And I was talking about this. I was on a podcast the other day called Music Junkies, which is an awesome podcast, by the way. Shout out to Annette Smith. And she went through my playlist, and a lot of it was some old school hip hop rap. And Run DMC popped up. And I'll never forget, you know, being introduced to Run DMC at like 10 years old. You know, and I just fell in love with it, you know. So much, you know, Black music is so influential, you know. Yeah. And I just think, like I said, I don't like the term cultural appropriation. I don't think, oh, you know, this is just for us and this is just for us and that's just for no, not in this country. But here's the thing. Give credit where credit is due.
That's
what it is. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're a white dude with dreadlocks, yeah, you can do that, but I'm going to make fun of you.
It just doesn't flow the same way.
But I mean, you know, man, thank God for Black people music. Thank God for
wow, you're so welcome. Thank you for saying that, man. Thank you.
I love it. I love it. You know, and so much in my art too, you know, in comedy, you know, because and you know what, this is cool, but a lot of people don't know this, but there's a lot of Black magicians are popping up. So which is super dope. You know, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, holy shit, I can't wait to see what they do, because there's so many culturally creative talent, you know, so I can't wait, you know, to see some of the cool things that pop up in magic for that. But hey, let's do this. I've been rambling and dambling and we've been talking all over the place. I want to, first of all, I've got some questions we got to cover real quick. First, I want to know, now we know who is at the top. We know who is at the top, Janine, but I want to know who is your top five musicians of all time. And we know who's at the top.
Stevie Wonder is number two.
God, he's good.
Shaka Khan is number three.
Hold on, wait. I got a Shaka Khan story real quick. I got to brag real quick. I said 2021 was a hell of a year for me, and it was. I got booked to do this private party in Nashville. Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't know really whole lot about it. I just knew that they were rich, had a lot of money, and they wanted Magic Boy to run around, you know, and entertain everybody. So I get to Nashville, and the biggest house I've ever seen in my entire life. This house is ginormous. Okay. This house has an observatory in the backyard. Okay.
Wow.
This guy was really into space. I mean, it was in his backyard, and on the front of his house, he had a giant star, a picture of a giant star that lit up at night. Anyways, I'm like, damn, should have charged more. But anyway, I get in there and I'm doing a show, and then I realize whose house I'm at. I was at, his name is Hawk Walensky. He was the keyboardist for the Shaka Khan band. Mm-hmm. And he also wrote the song "Tonight's the Night" that Shaka Khan sang, he literally produced the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack, all these freaking things. So I'm walking around this house, and this guy's got platinum records all over his house. Met the guy, super nice guy. Took a picture in front of his Grammys. He said, "Go take a picture." So it was super amazing time. Hawk Walensky, super cool dude, Shaka Khan band. All right, Shaka Khan number three. I had to throw that out there. Oh, yeah, by the way, he was really big into space. He was giving, you know what he was giving away as parting gifts? Mm-hmm. Pieces of a meteorite that he had bought.
Get out of here. That's awesome. That's different. It's like, what is that?
I mean, he was getting that shit came from space. He's like, here you go. Oh, all right. Wow. Anyways, super great guy, great party. But go ahead. Okay, so number three. Well,
and then of course, you know, I've met Shaka and I know her a little bit too. So, but anyway, before I knew her and met her and all that, she's a big influence. But yeah, you said five. Now I've got two left. It's very hard for me because I'm all over the place now. The ones that I just said, they have tackled almost every facet of music there is possible. So those top three actually are enough. But I also have, I would think maybe Ella Fitzgerald. Actually, I have a picture of her on my wall back here.
Nice.
And Sarah Vaughan, who's in my other music room, she's another. So I went from them all the way to like, old school. Those are like just people that always just had magic without having to do a whole bunch of theatrics and necessarily have to do the theatrics with it and things like that. It was just their talent and their musicianship. And I've got a ton of influence. I'm gonna say those are my top five for sure.
Okay, well, let's do this because I gotta ask you this question too. On the Abracadabra podcast, we ask every guest, especially entertainers, to tell a hell gig story.
Let's hear it. Oh, dear Lord. I was like, I got to tell one. Lord have mercy. You know, sometimes we have a bunch of them. but there was one not too long ago, but a couple of years back where I was asked for to do an outside gig for a college here in Knoxville. And it was actually for my saxophone player's school that he actually is a teacher at. So we were like, okay. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. But I want a horn section, this, that, the other. Well, this was like, oh my God, probably by the time we had to do this particular gig, it was high noon outside, summertime, about 100 degrees by the time we were out there. We get there and they put us in the middle of this parking lot, no shade, no covering, but this was like some kind of, I don't know, some kind of event where they were, you know, giving away stuff. So all these other vendors had, you know, shade and they're under trees and shit. But then there's us. Like we had no water, no this, no that. I mean, we get up there just to sound check, and people's instruments, you know, that's not healthy for instruments either, physical instruments or, you know, a physical body singer or instruments. But it was like people's stuff started getting overheated before we could even do anything because the sun was beaming right down on us and we're about to die. We're like, oh my God, this is crazy. It was, when I say from hell, it felt like it was hell outside. It was so damn hot. You could have been naked and still like been burning up. But yeah, we had no water. And they kept saying, well, y'all can get something to drink and something to eat. But we're like, where? And now I happen to have been fortunate enough for a break to go into my air conditioned car. But a lot of us, you know, had to be parked, I don't know, I felt like a mile away from where the venue was. You know how that is, loading your instruments in and bringing all your shit in there. And then it's like, now you got to park it this far from there and dealing with that so you can't go back to your car. It was just a complete and utter, I feel like it was from hell. So literally because, you know, I was like, there's not even enough money to pay us to deal with this. What if I felt like I was also gonna have, I don't know if it was a heat stroke, but you know how you can get headaches and all that kind of stuff. And I'm up there performing and you got to know when I'm doing funk music and fun danceable stuff, I'm a big girl, but I'm gonna dance and I'm gonna move. I was like, the hell with this shit. You know, it was just, it was horrible. I mean, my drummer, I had hired a drummer to cover for my regular drummer, and my friend Bobby Brown was playing for me. I was teased because his name is Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
I go, Bobby Brown, you okay? You know, but his phone was overheated, and he had charts, you know, to follow on his phone. And one of my friends from, where is he from? From Sweden, he was in town. He played, and his instrument just got so hot that he could barely touch his trombone. It was like crazy, and we were just like happy we survived it. Honestly, we were just happy we survived it. And I was like, never again. I never thought to ask, where y'all gonna have us? Y'all gonna have a stage for us? I mean, at least they gave us somewhat of a stage.
And that's the thing that you always, you're like, man, I will, from now on, I will ask every damn time now.
Yeah, you know, and I'm pretty good at, with details on things. But again, a lot of times I'm just thinking about the performance part and making sure I've got logistics on with my musicians and the show itself. That's what my mind is. It's like, dude, now I got to think about the business part of it. And like, dude, you get number one, you got to have a case of water. Because I do that on the bigger stuff. Like when festivals, you know, at least I'll ask, can you make sure you have water for it? Can you make sure you have this? The little riders that's supposed to go along.
That's exactly. I've got a little rider and water's one of them. But I mean, I'm not like divish, but water is.
Right. Give me right. Some water. Come on. Essential.
Exactly. Okay. Now, before we get out of here, I got to do this. We on the Africa Damn podcast. I got to do a card trick. All right. Got to do a card.
Do it.
All right, Janine. Now I'm going to try to read your mind. All right. Okay. What I got right here, I've got some cards. I want you to look at one of these cards. Look at one of them and get it inside your head. Can you see the cards?
I can see the cards.
Okay. You have one inside your mind.
Uh-huh. I do.
Okay, do not forget it, Janine, or I sound like a dumbass. All right, here we go. Here we go. What I'm going to do, I'm going to lose the cards in the deck. I'm going to try to do this, okay? I'm going to try to cut the deck here, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to try to cut the deck to one card. I think I got it. Okay. Now I'm obligated, Janine. I've cut the deck to one card. For the first time, let the Abracadam listeners know, what is the card you're only thinking of?
The Seven of Spades.
The Seven of Spades. Now I said I cut to one card only. The Seven of Spades.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Oh my gosh.
Best response ever, Janine Fuller. Ladies and gentlemen, she has been abracadammed right here. You heard it. Okay. Janine, first of all, we know you're going to be at the wine bar here in town, which we cannot wait to see you because it's a great show. You are a very talented performer. I love your music, but let the listeners know, where can they learn more about Janine Fuller music?
Woo! Okay. So I have a website. I have a website and I also have a Facebook. All of those are, okay, let's do the website first. JanineFullerMusic.net. And it's spelled JEANINE, Fuller. music.net. Also Facebook. I'm a big Facebooker and I have a pretty good following there, so I leave a lot of stuff there, and that is also Janine Fuller Music Page. That one's just the music page, so it's Janine Fuller Music Page on Facebook. Those are my bigger ones that you can find anything really. Facebook, well, you can do it on the website because it'll tie all that stuff in there. So you should be good. JanineFullerMusic.net is my website. Okay.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, Janine, and also you got some stuff on YouTube if the listeners like, you know,
I've got
listeners all over the world.
YouTube. I've got Instagram. My Instagram is Janine D. Fuller. I've got YouTube, and it's under the same name, Janine Fuller. I've got TikTok. I've not been very active with TikTok, but I have been on there. So I have some stuff on there, and that's under Janine Fuller Music as well. I try to keep it consistent with my name in there.
Gotcha. But yeah. So yeah, wherever you live at in the world, you can check out Janine Fuller, check out her music. And if you're in the metaverse, what the hell? I don't know if she's there yet, but there we go. But I tell you what, Janine, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast.
No. Hey, can I do one more shout out?
Absolutely.
I need to plug in a show that I'm going to be doing at Scruffy City Hall. On April 1st, it is a Prince and Stevie Wonder tribute show all together. Yes. April 1st, 8:00, Scruffy City Hall, Knoxville, Tennessee. Y'all nice. Better come.
Nice. That sounds awesome. Awesome. Yes. All right, Janine. Hey, thank you so much, though. You have been so much fun.
You have been, too, as always, though. It's been a pleasure, dude. Thank you.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Janine Fuller. It's always a blast to talk with her. And if you guys have not had a chance to hear Janine's music, definitely check her out online. Do a YouTube search. Some things will pop up. Fantastic. And if you're having a festival, an event, concert, anything, definitely you want to have her out because she is a fantastic performer. You will not be disappointed. I want to give a show date announcement. March 12th. I'm going to be at the Ancient Lore Village Resort in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you are around, this place is amazing. If you're not, you want to travel to this place to see this, go check out ancientlorevillage.com. It's like a medieval times place, the entire place. You get to stay in like these little medieval cottages. So many cool things to do there. But definitely check that out at ancientlorevillage.com. Come see my show March 12th if you're around or if you're local or not. Come see the show because it's going to be an abracadam good time. If you guys have not done so yet, be sure to like, follow, subscribe to the Abracadam podcast. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your aunts and uncles, tell your cat. Be sure to subscribe, follow, check it out, listen. And like always, Abracadamits, thank y'all for listening.
Freaking miracle. There you go.